This is Audiophile Magazine, providing news and reviews of recent releases of audiobooks. I'm Sandy Henschel. Hello. Welcome to today's reading of selections from the February-March issue of Audiophile Magazine. On today's program, we have five questions for Cassandra Campbell, the multiple Audie and Earphones Award winner. We also have a review of her reading of Rebecca Solnit's Call Them by Their True Names, American Crises, and Essays. We'll follow that with reviews in contemporary culture, including Joel Frumkin's Earphones Award-winning reading of Ethan Mordden's All That Jazz, The Life and Times of the Musical Chicago. Let's get right to it. First, we'll have our five questions with Cassandra Campbell by Candace Levy. First, Candace tells us a little bit about Cassandra, and then she asks her questions. Cassandra Campbell has been my virtual companion many, many times over the years. Have you ever noticed how some narrators are tapped for all the audiobooks you love to listen to? Cassandra and I seem to have that kind of relationship. I count on Cassandra's calm, soothing voice to envelop the emotional heart of an audiobook, connecting me to the story, no matter the intended audience or genre, including middle grade fantasy, The Glass Sentence, and literary short stories, You Know When the Men Are Gone. The audiobooks I feature here demonstrate the range of Cassandra's solo work. I tried to limit my choices to books published this year, but I couldn't resist sneaking in a couple of older titles. Audiobooks. Five audiobooks plus one. If you haven't listened to Delia Owens' Where the Crawdads Sing, then you must rectify the situation immediately. Set in North Carolina marshland during the Vietnam War era, this audiobook is part of a coming-of-age story, part mystery and part character study. Cassandra's delivery and subtle accents add to the mood of the story, linking us to the young protagonist whose struggle for survival and self-identity is both heartbreaking and tender. Art, New York City, and a little romance all play a part in Fiona Davis's new novel, The Masterpiece, which centers on an art school located in Grand Central Terminal. The story involves two women, one an artist in 1928, and the other a working mother in 1974. Cassandra's consistent and solid characterizations keep listeners on track as they learn how these two very different women are tied to the ultimate fate of the iconic, beautiful building. Cassandra ticks all my boxes when she performs memoir, drawing the listener in without commandeering the author's emotional space. A great example of this is The Last Landscape by Joyce Carol Oates. In this audiobook, Oates reflects on the people and events that shaped her development as an author, and Cassandra's expressive delivery makes even lists of items sound like poetry. And in And the Ocean Was Our Sky, Patrick Ness reverses the classic novel Moby Dick. Here, a whale recounts the epic tale of how she and her pod sought the great white ship contained by the evil human named Toby Wick. Cassandra's delivery highlights the conflict between the species as well as the personalities of those involved in the hunt. The themes of this story are relevant to contemporary life. If you're a mystery or thriller fan, be sure to add Sandrone Dazzieri's Caselli and Torre series to your listening queue. The audiobooks, starting with Kill the Father, are set in Rome and combine elements of police procedural mysteries with the high tension of good thrillers. Cassandra's Italian is lovely, and her tight pacing is perfect for these stories. You may find yourself listening just 1 minute more. The second book, Kill the Angel, was recently released. Five questions. These are questions for Cassandra. Have you finished adding titles to your audiobook wish list? I hope so, because it's time to turn the take 5 Spotlight on Cassandra and get to know more about who she is as a person. Audiophile Magazine. What genre will you always say yes to and why? Cassandra Campbell. I will always do literary fiction. It is where I resided in terms of reading preferences long before I started narrating audiobooks. I adore language and complex thought. That said, good writing is good writing, and I'm increasingly drawn to nonfiction because it keeps me discovering things I don't know much about. Audiophile. What are you doing when you're not working? Cassandra Campbell. My husband and I love to travel, so when we aren't working, we're scheming about how and where to go. We are currently planning a trip to Italy and Croatia. I also love to garden. Southern California is full of the most beautiful succulents, and the California native plants are also gorgeous. We have a huge yard, so I love to spend time out there, tinkering and puttering, when it's not too hot. Audiophile. What are some of the particular challenges of narrating nonfiction, such as Rebecca Solnit's essay collection, Call Them By Their Name? I don't really approach narrating, Cassandra Campbell, I don't really approach narrating nonfiction any differently from how I do fiction. Because in each case, the author is telling a story, and they have a tone of voice, a point of view, and a way of telling. A particular language they employ to get their story across. I think that every story is in some way a mystery unfolding. The author takes us into a world either of their imagination or one that they have explored in a deep way and come back to report on. So I really try to hear the particular voice of the story. In nonfiction, the author is an expert in their subject area, and my job is to sound like I'm an expert too. That means becoming familiar with material so that when I speak it, I can represent the author well. Sometimes when I'm in the studio, I picture myself giving a TED Talk, telling a room full of people about this very interesting topic I just have to share. Audiophile. What's your most embarrassing moment in the recording booth? Cassandra Campbell. My most embarrassing story happened early in my career. I was raised without a TV, so I don't have a cultural framework for many of the actors or what shows they were on, so I was working on a book that referenced Zsa Zsa Gabor. It was directed by a woman from South Korea who also didn't grow up watching American TV, thus neither of us knew how to pronounce her name. This was nearly 15 years ago, so the internet wasn't what it is today, and we were recording on Saturday, so no one else was around the studio. We decided on a pronunciation, a best guess. Later, when I was talking to the producer of the project, it came out that I didn't know anything about TV, and he laughed and said, "Okay, now it makes sense," because when I saw this correction, I thought, who the heck is this woman who doesn't know who Zsa Zsa is? I almost never gave you another job. We still laugh about it. Audiophile Magazine. What's the first task you tackle when given a new audiobook project? Cassandra Campbell. I start with the tone and character. Who's telling the story and what compels them to do so? I'm trying to hear the cadences of the language, see the world in which the story is set. I often will go online to look at pictures of a place if it's somewhere I've never been, traveling again in my mind, so I can see it in my mind's eye when I record the book. I'll be spending some time in Romania in an upcoming project. I make notes on a piece of paper, highlight words I don't know, mark accents or uncommon place names, but mostly I try to hear the characters' voices in my head. They are the teller, and I'm just following their path. Here's a review of Call Them By Their True Names, American Crises and Essays by Rebecca Solnitz, read by Cassandra Campbell. As the audiobook title suggests, essayist Rebecca Solnit is not interested in pretense or adulteration. Too much is at stake, particularly related to America's political climate when considering issues of social justice, gender, and racial equality, and the environment. Similar to the essays themselves, narrator Cassandra Campbell is unrelenting in her steadiness, and her understated performance offers a perfect counterweight to the challenging themes and ideas. Solnit's essays are political and provocative, sometimes sobering, sometimes infuriating, and always resolute in their underlying exhortation for more awareness and more justice. Interestingly, to the attuned and politically allied listener, Campbell's even modulation may actually increase the vitality of the essays and, by extension, the consternation of the listener, a judicious pairing. Andrea Smith wrote that review of Call Them by Their True Names, American Crises and Essays by Rebecca Solnit. It's read by Cassandra Campbell, available from Tantor Media for 6 hours of unabridged listening. And this is just a reminder that you have been listening to the February-March issue of Audiophile magazine. It's the magazine that wants you to discover the world of audiobooks. Okay, now we turn our attention to reviews in contemporary culture. And our first review is an earphones winner. As you know, Audiophile awards earphones to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria: narrative voice and style, vocal characterizations, appropriateness for the audio format, and enhancement of the text. Our first review in contemporary culture is Gross Anatomy, Dispatches from the Front and Back. It's written by Mara Altman, and it's an earphones winner read by the author. Finally, a hilarious body-positive look at the inside of the female body. With fearlessness and charm, Mara Altman narrates her personal journey of biological exploration, which answers questions many listeners want to know but may be way too uncomfortable to ask without anonymity. Altman's voice is slightly nasal and is pitched high, lending a youthful exuberance to her storytelling. Like a best friend, she is honest and thorough as she details what she's learned about public and private parts, literally warts and all. Take note, her honesty includes well-placed profanity that is delivered with aplomb. Unfortunately, for many, biology is further complicated by social expectations and norms, causing undue anxiety and self-judgment. Fortunately for listeners, Altman's pointed reckoning with this reality offers humor, insight, and greater acceptance. Andrea Smith wrote that review of Gross Anatomy, Dispatches from the Front and Back. Our next review is The Lies That Bind, Rethinking Identity by Kwame Anthony Appiah, read by the author. Who are you? It's a simple question, and most people will answer it with a reference to race, gender, religion, and/or culture. It's also a question that launches this thoughtful, fascinating, remarkable audiobook. The author narrates his own work and does a terrific job. His reassuring, playful voice, tinged with a British accent, is immediately friendly and knowledgeable. Appiah reads comfortably and brightly, leading us through a journey that begins to address the questions he raises about how we see ourselves. He also paces himself so we can follow his lively story. There are times when he loses momentum at the end of a sentence, but overall, Appiah can count himself a double threat. Robert I. Grundfest wrote that review of The Lies That Bind, Rethinking Identity by Kwame Anthony Appiah, read by the author. It's available from Highbridge Audio for 7.25 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review is Good and Mad, The Revolutionary Power of Women's Anger, written and read by Rebecca Traister. Rebecca Traister's steady and powerful narration lends strength to her chronicle of women's anger. She examines moments in time when women's anger and actions drove the suffrage movement, the civil rights movement, and the present movement born from the 2016 election. It is a deeply researched study, and Traister's narration clearly reframes key moments in history from a perspective different from those typically taught in history class. She explicitly explores how a woman's race and social standing can impact perception of her anger and the complex internal struggles faced by feminist movements. She concludes with an impassioned declaration for all women listening. If you are feeling mad about injustices in the world, hold on to that anger and use it as a catalyst for change. Emily Connolly wrote that review of Good and Mad, The Revolutionary Power of Women's Anger. It's written and read by Rebecca Traister, and it's available from Simon & Schuster Audio for 10 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review is The Patch by John McPhee, read by the author. This is a must-listen for anyone who values great nonfiction writing and storytelling. John McPhee is a Pulitzer Prize-winning author who's been called a master of creative nonfiction. This collection is made up of some of McPhee's earlier essays and stories that have never appeared in book form. McPhee does the narration, and although it is apparent that writing, not narrating, is his forte, the listener will come away with a deep appreciation for just how keen an observer and how great a writer he is. These stories reveal the author's boundless curiosity about all that surrounds us, from the natural world and the sports to icons in entertainment and those with an interesting story to tell. Jonathan Smith wrote that review of The Patch by John McPhee, read by the author. It's available from Recorded Books for 8.25 hours of unabridged listening. Next in contemporary culture, our review is The Fifth Risk by Michael Lewis. It's read by Victor Bovine. For those who are still shocked by the results of the 2016 election, the author, who loves to dig deep into the crevices of current events, has more anxiety in store in this audiobook. Narrator Victor Bovine has a low, restrained voice that underlines Lewis's sense of foreboding. The main point is that almost immediately after being sworn in as president, Donald Trump began appointing people to government posts who had no interest in running a government. The result is the dysfunction we are presently experiencing. Bovine narrates deliberately, but varies his tone to keep the audiobook interesting, and he's easy to follow through some of the more dense passages. He also pauses effectively to allow us to consider the meaning of the author's words. Robert Grunfest wrote that review of The Fifth Risk by Michael Lewis, read by Victor Bovine, available from Audible, Inc. for 5.25 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review is an earphones winner called All That Jazz, The Life and Times of the Musical Chicago by Ethan Morden, read by Joel Frumkin. If this were just an audiobook about the evolution of the play Chicago, it would be engaging, but with Joel Frumkin's narration, it is absolutely delightful. Frumkin's performance is a marvel, making the politicians, the dolls, and the smoke-filled rooms of the notorious city sizzle with decadence. The narrative details the play's extensive history. The Maureen Watkins play, 1926, two early movies, Chicago in 1927 and Roxy Hart in 1942, a Tony-winning Broadway musical in 1975, and the Academy Award-winning musical of 2002. Ethan Morden gives us lots of juicy backstory about the famous and infamous and their assorted connections to the characters in the play. Through quotations, anecdotes, and bits from the plays and musicals discussed, Frumkin's vocal dexterity and impressive range of accents provide wonderful listening. That review is by yours truly, Sandy Henschel, of All That Jazz, The Life and Times of the Musical Chicago by Ethan Morden. It's an Earphones winner, read by Joel Frumkin. And it's available from Tantor Media for 9.75 hours of unabridged listening. Next we have, in contemporary culture, Twain's Feast. It's by Andrew Beers. It's an edited by Audible. It's an Audible original. And it's an Earphones winner, read by Nick Offerman. In this audio adaptation based on Andrew Beers' book, The Food Writer Searches for Lost Foods of America, the print work was inspired by Mark Twain, who once made a list of the American foods he missed most while traveling at length in Europe. This production pares down Twain's list of favorite foods into a unique 8-course meal that narrator Nick Offerman makes sound real. Following in Twain's footsteps, chef Tyler Anderson seeks out and prepares 19th century American delicacies such as prairie hen, raccoon, and Philadelphia terrapin. Dinner guests, Twain scholars and entertainers, provide lively dialogue on the food and on themes related to American history and identity. Offerman's deep, resonant voice and dry narration are perfectly suited to Twain's witty anecdotes. Maya Fleischman wrote that review of Twain's Feast. Andrew Beers, it's an Audible original edited, and it's an Earphones winner read by Nick Offerman. It's available from Audible, Inc. for 4.5 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review in contemporary culture is Harry Potter and a History of Magic Wizarding World, Pottermore Publishing by Ben Davies, read by Natalie Dormer. As part of the celebration of 20 years of the Harry Potter lore, the first book was published in 1997. An exhibition of Potter artifacts is coming to the U.S. This formidable audio documentary is a companion to that event. Listeners will be plunged into the magical origins that inspired Harry's enchanted world. Divided into the Hogwarts curriculum, the audiobook introduces new characters in history and untold stories from around the world of supernatural science and medicine. Listeners will hear well-known publishing figures deliver excerpts from Rowling's early drafts. Also, excerpts from both series narrators Stephen Fry's and Jim Dale's iconic performances are included, along with the book's illustrators' commentary on their artistic processes and passionate scholars' descriptions of objects in the British Library's exhibit. Narrator Natalie Dormer shines with a serene lyricism that tempers the production's rough transitions. Full of enthusiasm and information, this audiobook will bewitch listeners with nostalgia for the Potter universe. Lizzie Nolan wrote that review of Harry Potter, A History of Magic, Wizarding World. It's from Pottermore Publishing and Ben Davies, read by Natalie Dormer, from Pottermore Publishing for 11.5 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review is For Colored Girls Who Have Considered Politics. It's written by a group of talented writers and it's read by Robin Miles. This group autobiography highlights the challenges, travails, and successes of four women leaders of color in the Democratic Party over the last 5 decades. Robin Miles narrates in a tone that lets these determined women's experiences shine. She captures joyful experience such as finding role models and working with mentors to more personal experiences such as grieving the death of loved ones. Miles evokes the speaking style of each woman without trying to emulate her, so that listeners can clearly follow each story as the book advances chronologically, jumping to each leader. Between the women's words and Miles's narration, this audiobook is an oral history in the truest sense of the term. Lance Eaton wrote that review of For Colored Girls Who Have Considered Politics. It's written by a talented group of writers, read by Robin Miles, available from Macmillan Audio for 12.5 hours, unabridged. Next we have Breaking News, The Remaking of Journalism and Why It Matters Now by Alan Rusbridger. It's read by Samuel West. With his plummy English accent, narrator Samuel West imbues this insider account of newspaper business with gravitas that reflects the author's unwavering belief in journalism's role in democracy. As editor-in-chief of The Guardian during the 20 years when newspapers were struggling to figure out a business model for the digital age, Rusbridger played a major role in WikiLeaks and Edward Snowden stories, as well as the News of the World phone hacking scandal. West's pace has the listener feeling the adrenaline pumping as the reporters begin breaking important stories, but his measured tone aptly conveys the author's concerns about trying to balance deep research and a 24/7 news cycle. This is required listening for anyone who cares about the future of journalism. Lorraine Shanley wrote that review of Breaking News, The Remaking of Journalism and Why It Matters Now. It's by Alan Rusbridger, read by Samuel West, available from Macmillan Audio for 13 hours, unabridged. Finally today, in contemporary culture, we have The End of the Earth, Essays by Jonathan Franzen, read by Robert Petkoff. Narrator Robert Petkoff gives voice to the edgy, eclectic, and energetic ideas of National Book Award winner Jonathan Franzen. Petkoff hits the difficult balance between being ironic and earnest that is so characteristic of the author's essays. Petkoff races through the complicated, interesting sentences while at the same time making sure that we keep track of their meaning with precise enunciation. Listeners are treated to an intellectual persona that sounds like one would expect of Franzen himself. For fans of his fiction and nonfiction alike, this is a title one can dip in and out of on long walks or slow Sunday afternoons. Petkoff makes sure this is an entertaining as well as contemplative experience. Mohana Rajakumar wrote that review of The End of the Earth, Essays by Jonathan Franzen, read by Robert Petkoff. It's available from Macmillan Audio for 6.5 hours of unabridged listening. That's our show for today, but I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when we have an In the Studio with producer Susan Loewenberg of LA Theater Works and their new production of I Love Lucy. A funny thing happened on the way to the sitcom. After that, we'll have a few reviews in drama, poetry, and classics, including an Earphones-winning review of Dracula and Carmilla by Bram Stoker, read by Clive Hayward and Allison Larkin, plus a few reviews in science fiction, fantasy, and horror, including an Earphones-winning review of Foe, written by Ian Reid and read by Jacques Roy. So until next time, thanks for listening. This has been Audiophile Magazine from WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Audiophile is also available online at www.audiophilemagazine.com. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Sandy Henschel. For more information on any of the books you've heard about today, contact your local library, Library for the Blind, or your favorite local bookstore. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.